This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Hey, over the last few weeks, David's been speaking to us about light and darkness and about letting our light shine. And next Saturday, we get a brilliant opportunity to do that in the community, let our light shine. So today, I thought would be the perfect time to talk about how we keep that light shining bright in our lives. So I'm going to be speaking to you this morning. We're going to have a little chat, actually, probably. I don't know, you might talk back to me, about our devotional life. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Acts 4, and we'll start there. Acts chapter 4. Oh, maybe I should do that too. Okay, we're going to start at verse 5. Good. Okay. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there any salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And we'll stop there. My question to you is, when you go out into the world, can people see that you've been with Jesus? Have you been with Jesus recently? I thought about this a lot, and I brought this in here today because I want you to see, this is what happens at my house in the morning. It's actually not quite like this chair. This is a pretty good chair. I have a recliner. This will do. So this is what happens in my house in the morning. I wake up, and the first thing I do, I must say, sometimes it's not always thank you God for this day, it's go and make a cup of coffee. Oh, see, I forgot something. Hang on. I really did forget something. So I have my cup of coffee. That's the first thing I do. I get my coffee, and then I either sit in my lounge room at a table. This is actually my table, and this is my light. And I either sit in my lounge room or I sit in my office. And what I guess I'm trying to say is you need a place. You need a place where you go and sit. I don't usually have a microphone. Okay, thank you, David. So I go and I sit and I drink a cup of coffee, sometimes two. And I talk to God and he talks to me. And I guess the question I want to ask you today, and I really felt God saying this, was when was the last time you went and talked to God? And I don't mean here in church. And I don't mean telling him something you need. I mean just go and sit with him. I actually thought about bringing another chair up here and having it sit with me because, you know, he's right there. And often I feel like he's waiting for me to get there if I've decided to do something else first. He's waiting, and I feel like sometimes he's saying, you know, he's sitting there waiting patiently for me, and I feel like sometimes he's saying, so you ready? You're ready now. You've done all those other things. Are you ready? I'm ready to talk to you. And it's really important as Christians that we don't forget about this place, however it looks for you. It looks different for everybody. It might be at a different time. For me, it's in the morning. And I really actually would encourage you to have your quiet time first, or devotions first thing in the morning. At least, the very least, when your feet hit the floor when you get out of bed, is to say, thank you, God, for this day. before you even make a cup of coffee. At least acknowledge him first. You know, for some of us it's hard. For Jean Hobbs, it's very hard. She already gets up at 4:30 in the morning. Don't you? And for some of us, we have young children and it's very hard. But as we talk further today, you'll know that if it's important, if something's important enough for you, you find time. You find the time. You make the time to do it. Okay, I'll stand. Although it's very comfortable, I'll stand up. I'll come back to that. So one of the main things that I think we forget, we often talk to God through the day. I know you do. And we sing to him and we talk to him. I want to really probably, my main focus today is looking at the word. We have to read the word of God every day. And this is a challenge to me as much as it is to you. We have to read the word of God every day. It's not optional. It's not optional to read the word every day. It has to be done every day. So we're going to look at why. Where's my I've got all these things. I've got something to show you, and I want to show you this because Shauna knows what's coming. I want to show you this because you love me. You have to love me. And I want to show you this for a reason. The word is a mirror. The word is a mirror. It reflects Jesus to us and it shows us. The reason we look in the mirror is to see what we should look like. A couple of weeks ago, Megan decided to take a picture of her mother when she first got out of bed in the morning. Are you ready? Let's see. Can I get it to work? Now, that is true. My hair, Wilma, I'm sorry, especially when I haven't been to see you and it's getting long, it really does look like that in the morning. And see, there's my cup. It's not my Karen cup, but it is my cup, and I should have worn my dressing gown to church. That's what I look like when I get up in the morning. I do not go out in public without looking in the mirror. Because if I did, it's not pretty. That's what other people would see. I don't go out. And how often, let me get rid of that now, because you'll just be looking at it all the time. How often, though, as Christians, do we go out into our day without even looking in the mirror? And what are people seeing? You know what one of my worst fears is? I don't know why, but it is. When I go to the bathroom in a public place, like if I'm at a shopping centre or at church, my worst nightmare, especially if I'm wearing a skirt, is that I'll come out with my skirt tucked into my... or toilet paper dragging somewhere that it shouldn't be. That's terrible. I always look in the mirror if there's one there. As Christians, we cannot go out into our day without looking into the mirror. That's why I showed you that picture, because I know you'll remember that. I've scarred your memories for life now. But you'll remember every day we need to look into the mirror. James 1:25 says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the works, this one will be blessed in what he does." He who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the word. And 2 Corinthians 3:18, But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible shows us Christ's likeness so that we may measure our conduct and character against his and allow God to shape us into Christ's likeness. That's why we need to look into the word every day, into the mirror every day, because unless we know the image of what we're supposed to be, I adjust myself before I go out into the world. I don't let any, and do you know what? I was thinking about it this morning. On the rare occasion that I go out before doing all, you know, having a shower and, you know, if I rush down to Safeway for some reason, I put on a hat so that my hair is covered up and I go in quick and I come out. Do you know what I'm doing? I'm hiding. I'm hiding myself. That's not letting any light shine. Think about that in your Christian walk. If you haven't looked into the mirror and you haven't adjusted yourself, you'll find yourself hiding away. You'll cover things up. You'll run in and you'll run out hoping no one sees you. That's not letting a light shine. You've got to look into the mirror. I wash my hair. I put stuff in my hair. I wash my face. I brush my teeth. I even have a mirror that I look in the back to make sure that part's looking all right. And sometimes I even get my kids to ask if I look all right. You know, we need to be looking at helping each other in that way. Can't go out into the world. We can't go out into this community without looking into the mirror every day. I don't look in the mirror once a week. I don't. Who looks in the mirror once a week before I come to church on a Sunday? I look in the mirror every day, sometimes more than once. Sometimes I do it in the morning and at night. If I've eaten something funny, I'll look in a mirror during the day. Carry a mirror in my bag. I have a mirror in my handbag. We need to be looking in the mirror of God's word all the time. The other thing that happens, you know, we have a light in us. We've been talking about light. The light in us is Jesus. The light in us is the Holy Spirit. The light never goes away. The light never goes away. But we're talking about how we make our light shine. I want you to picture this, a house. Actually, you can picture my house again. Since I've lived in that house, I think I've probably washed my windows. Oh, this is confession day, isn't it? About three times. I wash the ones that I can reach. I don't wash those great big ones. I just cover them up with curtains so no one can see they're dirty. But what happens is, I want you to picture a house, the lights are all on and the windows are clean. And you can, the curtains are open, the windows are clean, you can see the light. But then picture a house that hasn't had its windows washed and they're dirty and they're grubby and the light's still on as bright as ever inside, but people can't see it because the windows are dirty. This is what happens in our life. We get dirty windows and we need to have our windows cleaned. Our lives house the Holy Spirit. Sometimes our windows get dirty. Life has a habit of getting messy and sometimes life gets dirty. If our windows get dirty, our light can't be seen. The light is still there. The Holy Spirit never leaves us. The Word says that. The Holy Spirit never leaves us. He's our constant companion. He dwells in us. He doesn't move out or go on holiday when things get messy or dirty. But we have a responsibility to ensure that our windows are clean so that our light can be seen. How do we clean our windows? By the washing of the Word. Romans 12:2, a verse that we all know. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the world comes in, the world gets us dirty, the world's messy. We have to transform that. We have to get washed by the word of God. The other thing we need to do is we need to do it every day. And I've said this already, but it's really important. Every day, reading the word every day. I want you to think about the Israelites, the children of Israel in the desert and the manna. And you know this, but I'm going to tell it to you again because it's so true. Exodus 16:4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." That's powerful. The children of Israel were instructed to gather every day a certain quota of bread. How often? Every day. Every day. If they tried to keep it, it rotted and stank. So it's no good just coming to church on a Sunday and getting a great word and thinking it will last you the whole week, because it won't. You've got to do it every day. I love that scripture. It says that God provided the bread from heaven. God's provided you bread from heaven. Where's my Bible? God's provided you bread from heaven. It's all there. And he says every day, I want you to go and gather your quota for today. Every child of Israel gathered a different quota. Not everyone gathered the same amount. Some with bigger families obviously had to gather more manna. Others gathered less. But they all had exactly the amount that they needed to get them through that day. What you're going through today is different to what I'm going through today, or the person sitting next to you. And what you go through tomorrow will be different to what you go through today. You've got to get the right amount, the very word that you need every day. How many times do we go through our Christian walk thinking that we can go for days without feeding on the bread of life? Eventually, you will run on empty. I had this conversation with someone during the week. You know, you can go maybe one day and miss your quiet time with God, or specifically I'm talking about reading the word, actually. You might be able to go one day and think, nothing happened, I'm still okay. And you might be able to go another day and another day, and soon you've gone a week and you're starting to see, you will start to see evidence of that, and you'll wonder why. Why aren't things going right? You're running on empty. You're running on just the remembrance of what you've read before. You're running on fumes. What do they say? Running on the smell of an oily rag. Sometimes you may not feel like reading the Bible. I don't care. Your feelings don't, what do we say? What does Joyce say? Feelings don't get to vote. I know that when my children were young, and it's still the same now, they didn't feel like doing everything I asked them to do. So when they came to me and said, I don't feel like doing that, Mum, oh, okay then. If you don't feel like it, then don't worry. You know, that's true. Things that I knew would help them to grow and mature. They needed to trust me that I knew what they needed better than they did at that time. And it didn't matter whether they felt like making their bed or felt like having a shower or felt like doing what I asked them to do. They needed to do it. It was essential that they did it. I've probably shared this story, shared it at ladies, but I'm going to share it again. The reason I think why this is so important, it's close to my heart and why God brings it to my heart all the time, because it made such a big difference in my life. I, you know, as most of you know, I've been a Christian. I grew up in a Christian family. My mum and dad were ministers. I was in a Christian home. So I've had God in my life my whole life. But who knows, there are moments in your walk, in your Christian life, that you can pinpoint and say, God did something then and my life changed. God did something then and my life changed. I want to tell you about one of those times. We were on, it must have been about 10 years ago, I think, and we were on a ladies' camp up in Marysville. And I was on the ladies' committee. I think I was on the ladies' committee at that time. And we were talking about who we would get for a guest speaker. And it was suggested that we have someone come and talk to us about journaling. And everyone was like, yeah, that's great. You know, let's do that. And everyone was excited. And I was like, yeah, let's do that. And that sounds really good. I didn't want to do it, but everybody else wanted to. Anyway. It was really good. I can't even remember the lady's name. Do you remember her name, Bev? Someone will tell me later. But she came with a friend of hers and they talked to us about journaling. I don't know if I've got that particular journal, but I've got a few. And what happened on that camp was I observed some women from our church, and I won't tell you who they are, but they were godly women and I could see something in them that was lacking in my life. I couldn't quite put a finger on it. I couldn't tell you in words what it was, but there was something they had more in their Christian walk than what I had. So I decided to find out what that was, and I watched them, and they were the ones who were getting up early before everybody else was awake, and they would gather just quietly, not even together, but I would find them out in the lounge room in front of the fire, singing, you know, listening to music, reading the word, praying, and they would do that every day. And I knew that's what it was. I knew that's what it was. And I purposed when I got home from that camp that I would do that. It killed me. It killed me because it meant at the time I had little kids. Jessica and Megan were young at that time and I was working at Safeway. I started work early. It meant I had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. That killed me. If I wanted to do that, but I purposed to do that. And why? Because I wanted what they had. I wanted that something more. There was more power. There was more something that they had, and I wanted that. So I started doing that. And it's not about journaling. It's about purposing to spend that time with God. I made that decision, and I decided it was more important to me than anything else. I could sacrifice that extra hour of sleep to get up and do it. And you know what? It didn't come easy. It wasn't easy. I had to set my alarm. I still have to set my alarm every day. But this is what happened. And I'm not showing you this to say, look how good Karen is or anything like that. It's an example to you. It started with one journal, and I filled that one. And then I filled that one. Actually, this is it. This is that first journal that I got on that ladies' camp. And they even showed us how to draw little funny pictures in there to make our journal interesting if we wanted to do that. So that was my first journal. And then I did, you know, it went on and it went on and it went on. And what this represents, this isn't about how good a writer I am or how good a journal I am. This represents time with God. That's what it represents. Me purposing that every day I would go and I would sit and I would wait on God and I would read the word and I would let him reflect himself on me and I would adjust myself to fit his image. I would look in the mirror of the word every day. And that's what changed my life. Did I see it happening to myself? No. I didn't see it happening to myself, but other people saw a change in me. And other people pointed it out to me. And this is what it was. It was purposing to spend time with God every day. And I looked into his word every day. And did I read chapters of the Bible every day? No. Maybe it was just a verse. At the moment, this is my quote. Why am I showing you all this stuff? Because it's real. This is real. It's not just something that a preacher gets up here and talks. This is how it looks in my life. And I wanted to show you that so you can see you can do that in your life. If I can do that in my life, you can do that. And if it's important to you, no matter what's going on in your life, you will find time to do it. Imagine if you... I actually thought of Lucia when I was thinking of this. Imagine if you before, and I know I had to have kidney dialysis every day, and if you didn't, you would die. Let me tell you, it wouldn't matter what time you were told to get up in the morning or whatever else you had on, you would be there. And you would sit there for as long as it took, however long, however often you needed to do it, you would be there because your life depended upon it. And when someone said to you, can we go shopping on Monday at 8 o'clock in the morning? You would say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I've got to be at the hospital and have my dialysis. Do you want to come out on Sunday night and we'll stay out till midnight and have a great time? Sorry, I've got to get up in the morning early. I've got an appointment at 8 o'clock that I have to be at. It's a matter of life and death. That's how important this is. It's important. And don't think, I was challenged this week. I was saying to David, I should have known better. I was challenged this week on my quiet time because I knew I'd be talking about it today. It's not easy. And let me tell you, people can tell. You know what's that scripture say? People can see when you've been with Jesus. They can see when you haven't. True. I often imagine, you know, Charlie might say to me, you haven't been with Jesus lately. You better go and have some, you know. People can see, I can tell when I haven't been with Jesus and then I have to recommit. And it's not about condemnation. It's not about saying, you're not doing this, you've got to put, let's make it a ritual every day. God had to deal with me about that as well, about, you know, ritual. I must sit in this chair and I must have this book and I must have that and I must say this. It's not about that. It's letting the Spirit lead you. But what it is about is committing and saying, God, you are number one. And that's where you prove it. Yes, go to the carnival and do all the great things we're going to do at the carnival. Work at the church, Karen, 3 days a week. Do all the other things you do. But if you don't love me and spend time with me, it means nothing and it's all dead works. This is the most important thing, spending time with God and reading his word. Read. I can't emphasize enough how important it is to read the word. Before the fall, Adam and Eve walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. How do we know that? Because when they were bad, they hid from him in the cool of the evening. Imagine that though, walking with God, walking and talking. We were at Bev's last night for our ladies' end of year thing. How beautiful is that garden? It is lovely. And I actually imagine that. Imagine, I mean, the Garden of Eden must have been, sorry, Bev, better than your garden. But imagine that. And imagine how nice was it walking down the back there. The girls said they went for a walk down. There's a little creek at the back and it was beautiful. Imagine walking and talking with God in a beautiful garden in the cool of the evening. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to seek that which was lost in Matthew 18:11. What was lost in the fall was everything. Everything. What did he come to restore? Everything. He didn't just come to seek and save lost people. Yes, he did come for that. But he came to restore everything. He came to restore intimacy. He paid the price so that you can walk and talk with him again. Don't neglect it. There must be, this is a quote by Andrew Murray because he's one of my favourite authors who when I'm sitting in my chair, I read, there must be life before there can be light. There may be reflected light from a dead or a dark object. There may be a borrowed light without life, but only true life can show true light. He who follows Christ shall have the light of life. In the beginning was God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That's John 8:12. Jesus is our light. He has, I just, really today is all about encouraging you in your walk and reading the Word. You may not feel like reading this, but you need to. It's a matter of life and death. You need to look in the mirror. I'll just show it to you one more time. You don't want to go out in the world looking like that. You need to look in the mirror. You need to let the Holy Spirit adjust. That's a bit out of place, Karen. You need to just get that back in line. You need to clean that up a little bit. You need to make that look a little bit prettier. You need to adjust that attitude. You need to bring that out. And that only happens if we're looking at the wrong picture, at the wrong image. We're going to adjust ourselves to the wrong image. If we're not looking into the Word of God to see what He looks like, if we're looking at not at Him, that means we're looking at something else. And we're going to be adjusted to the wrong image. We need to be adjusted to the right image, and that is Jesus. I want to encourage you this week and to make a commitment. It's about making a commitment, and I don't know what it will look like for you, but God knows your situation. He knows how many kids you have, when you have to get up in the morning, when you need all of the things in your life that it, we're all at different levels and different places in our life, but God doesn't say, if you've got time, come to me. If you, you know, don't have to get up early, or if the kids are all being good, or if your husband's being okay and you can make the time, he says this has to be number one. Everything else really, we've got a bit skew with. Everything else really should revolve around that, like I said before. It even, and this might sound a little bit drastic, but I believe it's the truth. When we're making a decision about our jobs and things that we take on, this should come into order. We think about, okay, a job is offered to us, or a, not even a job, but, you know, something where someone wants us to do. We mentally decide whether that fits into our life. Does that make sense? So we go, well, I know I've got nothing on that day. Okay, I can go. It's at the right time. Yep, that it's for the right money. All these things, all these criteria, we have checklists to decide whether we'll do it or not. How often is that on our checklist? How often? For me, it's not been often enough when I've been making a decision. If someone asks me to go somewhere, if I'm accepting a job offer, okay, it means getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Am I prepared then to get up early and have my quiet time with God? If not, well, maybe that's not the job for me. That sounds radical and drastic, but that's how important it is. Am I saying it will be easy? No. Is it easy for me? No. But I tell you, I actually now crave this chair. I crave this time. If I don't come, I can't go out into the world looking like that.
I don't like it. Nobody else does. I want to bring God glory. I want to be the light. And if I can't get it right in this chair, in this place, then I better not go out there. I better make sure I get myself in that room and adjust myself and look into the Word. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you tell us and remind us of these things because you love us so much. And you crave this place, Lord God, more than we do. You are waiting there for us to put everything aside and come to you and say, you know what, God, I want to prove it to you. I want to show you how much I love you, and I will commit to making you number one priority in my life. Put aside everything else that you've asked me to do. If I can't get it right in the prayer closet, God, in the quiet time place, in our sanctuary together, then I've got no business going out and doing anything for you. So, Lord, I pray for each one of us that today it's been challenging for us, that we would look at your Word in a different light, that we would see it, that it is the very source of our life, and we can't go for one day. There is no excuse, there is no reason good enough to miss spending that one day with you and looking into the mirror and letting you change us from glory to glory. So I pray for us as a church, Lord God. I pray for us that we would be a church that looks into the mirror constantly, that holds your Word up above anything else and makes you priority in our life. I thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you draw us, and that you forgive us when we miss the mark. You forgive us when we allow other things to creep in. And you, the way is always open. The way is always open. Every day is a new day. Your mercies and your grace are new each and every day. And I thank you for that, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that this week you would challenge us, that you would call us, that you would call us to come away with you, and that we would have our ears open to hear you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. My last challenge before we go is I want you to all read this week, at least once, Psalm 119. Psalm 119 talks in every verse. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It talks about the Word in every verse, and it talks about how important it is. So if you don't know what to read this week, Psalm 119.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.